Next item is Ron Edwards, 09-0990. Mr. Woodward, thank you for allowing me to have his comments.
My pleasure, Mr. Commissioner, members of the Commission. This is another after-the-fact request. Mr. Edwards is requesting authorization to retain 115-foot-long replacement pier, which he widened from 3 to 5 feet, and an adjacent additional 30-by-6-foot pier section at his restaurant and marina facility at the confluence of Greenville Creek and the Rappahannock River in Lancaster County. Rappahannock River, Route 3 bridge going into Whitestone, up through the lovely town of Lively, and down to Greenville Creek. The Greenville Creek area, there's a federally maintained navigation channel by the Army Corps of Engineers. That's depicted here with these dashes. Subject property is right here at the confluence. The Corps of Engineers just recently maintenance dredged the mouth of Greenville Creek. 2007 Vigen series of slides showing the subject property. This is the actual restaurant. Marina slips. There's actually crab shedding facility, seafood processing. Property was formerly Conrad's Upper Deck Seafood Restaurant, and did a lot of things down there. The subject of the current request is this pier section here. It's a little bit difficult to pick up in this aerial, but there's a marginal wharf, if you will, along here where a lot of the patrons to the restaurant and seafood crabbers and so forth would offload their catch. Another section of 4 foot wide, this was 8 feet wide, 4 foot wide going out here, freestanding, no connection to the upland here. The only other connection was a little small section there. You'll be able to see that. I just put this in to show you there's kind of a lot going on in Greenville Creek. The Corps channel coming in, there's a riparian lease here. There was some question as to where the recent dredging was going. Not really pertaining to this, but part of some of the confusion perhaps, or timing and what took it so long to come to resolution. There's some additional activities going on up there. Photograph earlier last month showing the recently dredged core channel, subject property. This is the section of pier that had been widened from 3 feet to 5 feet. This is the new dock that allows access to the upland at the end, unauthorized, and the widening was unauthorized as well. Let me give you a little bit of background. In the spring of 06, staff met with Mr. Edwards at the site as he was acquiring the commercial property, spoke with him at some length about the need for permits if there was going to be any upgrades to the facility. He mentioned all kinds of upgrades he had plans for, improving the boathouses, improving the ramp, and so forth. We made it clear to him at that time that any work along the shoreline or out in waters of the Commonwealth would require prior authorization, prior review, submittal of a JPA. Gave him my card, told him I'm up in the county once a month, give me a call if you ever want to talk about it. Did not hear from Mr. Edwards until later this year when he indicated he may be ready to do some work. I said that I could be up there next week, or actually later this week, and the comment was, no, I'm not ready quite yet. Let me get back to you. I sensed maybe something was going on, went up and found the violation. At that point, we indicated to him that he would need to submit an after-the-fact application to retain any of the improvements that he had done, and that we, like Ben had commented earlier, that we would not entertain any new work until we resolved the existing unauthorized work. By letter dated April 23rd, we had directed Mr. Edwards to complete and submit that joint permit application within 15 days. No application was received within that time period. I again visited the site June 16th of 09 while I was looking at the adjacent dredging of the channel, noted that nothing had been removed, noted that we had not received a joint permit application. At that point, we went into violation mode. Submitted a sworn complaint, notice to comply, directing removal of that structure. We had given him opportunity to submit the joint permit application. Clearly, he had not done that, so at that point, we were directing removal. Staff further directed Mr. Edwards to submit information regarding when the work was done, by whom, and why it was undertaken without prior authorization, in spite of our prior explanation to him on site of the need for application and review of any work along the shoreline or out in the waters. Before the submittal, and I have this a little bit out of order, I apologize for that. Before the submittal of the joint permit application, we were contacted by letter by Matt Sinteri III, an attorney up in the Northern Neck, who indicated that Mr. Edwards was interested in pursuing a claim of King's Grant for the waters adjacent to his property. I spoke with Mr. Terry sometime after that. He indicated that Mr. Edwards was, in fact, not a client. There had not been an agreement, not a financial agreement, and that Mr. Terry would no longer be representing Mr. Edwards in his claims of King's Grant. On June 1st, we received a letter. I'm sorry. That letter was also, I mentioned that because the letter was submitted as part of the JPA, but in fact, we had received that letter prior to submittal of the joint permit application. On July 16th of 09, we did finally receive the joint permit application to retain the structures that had been constructed without authorization and replace a timber bulkhead and some additional work, although that timber bulkhead and additional work was not clear in the application form. And I had prior told Mr. Edwards that we would not consider new work until we resolved the unauthorized work. Staff responded by letter July 23rd, 09, noting deficiencies in the application, and recommended immediate removal of an additional 8 mooring piles that had been installed on the backside of the property. They don't show up in this photo because they have been removed, but I will show them to you. They were in this location, and they were holding this crane barge off of the pier, which the existence of the crane barge that Mr. Edwards said he had just recently acquired was another reason that we were a little bit concerned that he has the means to do additional work without prior review. I recommended as a show of good faith that he remove those 8 mooring piles, as he indicated to me that they were just temporary, and he did so. In the cover letter, Mr. Edwards stated that the changes to the pier were made during safety-related maintenance and repairs of the structure since it was used for ingress and egress to the restaurant. Let me go through a few more slides before I get into the meat of that. Again, just panning around, this is the subject unauthorized pier and the unauthorized widening and improvement of this structure here. This is the dredge material that was taken out of the creek. Hopefully it'll stay there for a while. Ground shot looking at the newly constructed pier is also elevated relative to the existing pier. In Mr. Edwards' application, he indicates that at periods of extreme high tide, this would go underwater and make it difficult for patrons to disembark. This is actually the prior site visit. That's the core dredge operating offshore. This is the brand new structure. Crosses intertidal wetlands, albeit riprap, but it's an intertidal jurisdictional wetland commercial structure. This is the sketch received from Mr. Edwards, and I must admit it was difficult for me to determine exactly what was going on here, but he was asking for additional replaced bulkhead with same footprint. This was the additional new work that I said we would not entertain. This is the area I was concerned about. Here he shows the additional mooring piles adjacent to the crane barge. At my recommendation, he hired a professional draftsman, surveyor, to give us scaled after the fact as-built drawings. That's what we have here, 115 by 5 feet and 37 by 6 feet. Additional sketches, section view detail. These were the 3 and 5, total of 8 mooring piles that were installed, according to Mr. Edwards, temporarily to hold this barge in place. A little closer look. Those have now been removed. You see them lying aboard the barge here. It can be reused at some point in the future with authorization. In his letter, his cover letter in the application, Mr. Edwards indicated it was his initial intention just to replace the deteriorated portions of the pier, but he widened the pier by 2 feet since the additional portion was on the shore side, i.e. not out in the channel of the pier, therefore didn't represent an additional encroachment out in the channel, an additional encroachment over state bottom, but maybe not out over the channel. He explained he also raised the structure 18 inches since the existing pier would sometimes become submerged, as I mentioned. He noted the new 30-by-6-foot dock did not encroach on the waterway channel. He indicated that the 8 freestanding mooring piles were going to be temporary, and that he, to secure a recently purchased barge, which he planned to use to straighten and widen an existing dock once he obtained the necessary approvals. I have no idea which dock he was speaking of. Mr. Edwards also included a handwritten letter, indicated that he had received bad advice from well-intentioned good friends, neighbors, and lawyers that caused him to proceed without the necessary permit. He apologized for the delays and for the after-the-fact delays associated with submitting the after-the-fact request, and assured us that he would never make the same mistakes again. VIMS indicates the pier is expected to have minimal adverse environmental impact, and recommends providing adequate trash receptacles and posting signage as you would do at any marina or commercial waterfront facility. The Lancaster County Wetland Board approved the after-the-fact request for this section here, where the pier spans the intertidal wetlands, the riprap rubble, and they required double permit fees, which total $600, and agreed to accept the civil charge in the amount of $500 in lieu of pursuing further enforcement actions. Mr. Edwards was again reminded that any work or repairs in the future would require prior review and approval by the board and or VMRC. The EQ indicates that provided the VMRC and the Army Corps issues permits, that a water protection permit will not be required. No other states have state agencies have commented on the after-the-fact application. In summary, while the environmental impacts associated with the project are minimal, we remain concerned that Mr. Edwards maybe doesn't understand or fully grasp the importance of getting your permits in hand ahead of time, submitting review, working with staff. We have met with him on site. We see the barge down there, the fact that the facility is in need of repair. There's a lot of work that can be done down there. We were encouraged initially that he was going to do that and upgrade the facilities to where they could be enjoyed more by the public. However, and the improvements that he's seeking after-the-fact authorization for would have met with approval by staff, we have no doubt. He improved the safety and access to the facility. However, again, we're concerned that he is pursuing without proper authorization. Accordingly, given minimal degree of environmental impact but a severe degree of noncompliance in this matter, we are recommending approval of the widening of the new section of pier here. I'm sorry, widening of the replacement section of pier and the new 37-foot-by-6-foot pier section, conditioned upon triple permit fees totaling $75 and Mr. Edwards' agreement to pay a civil charge in the amount of $1,800, which is minor degree of environmental impact and significant degree of deviation or noncompliance with the permit process. If Mr. Edwards were not to agree to those terms, we would ask the Commission consider directing removal of the improvements as they exist.
Questions of Mr. Woodard? Got any idea what the total cost of this project was? Or is Mr. Edwards here? Mr. Edwards here? Is Mr. Edwards here?
No, to answer your first question...
Let me finish. Was Mr. Edwards relieved of his ability or in the need of being here today by anyone from the Marine Resources Commission?
Yes, sir. Not that I'm aware of.
Anyone here in support of the project? Anyone here in opposition to the project? The matter is before the Commission for discussion and action. Further questions? Mr. Schick, And then, who had another question? Mr. Tankard.
Again, like the last situation, and the gentleman's not even here to give us any information. Now, we require the last folks to take out the dock. I don't know why this is any different.
Mr. Tankard, then Mr. Robbins.
I don't know if I can first ask if the communication staff, if you felt as though Mr. Edwards had a firm grasp of what you had talked with him about, as you indicated in the narrative. What was your feeling about his ability to understand the need of the application process to be fulfilled?
My feeling, and his absence today is somewhat indicative of that, is I'm not sure that he gets it. With that said, you know, it's an existing commercial facility, continues to do business. We felt that the improvement that in the red circle, and I understand Mr. Schick's comment, that was a public safety improvement that we would have approved, unlike the last application. It's a commercial facility, so he's not bound by square footage and so forth. So that we wrestled with that as well. Mr. Edwards was at the Wetlands Board hearing. I have met with him on multiple occasions on site, and I don't know how to say it nicely. I don't know that he gets it. We remain concerned that there's a need for additional work at the facility. And
let me follow that up. Isn't it not true that he asked you not to come by at one point? You mentioned something in your narrative which piqued your interest to the point where you thought, I think, and you characterized it, maybe something was going on?
Correct. When he phoned me after I had spoken with him sometime prior, I hadn't heard from him in a while. I know Conrad's upper deck. I've been dealing with Captain Milton Conrad for years. I told him, I'll come by and take a look. No. I'm not ready yet.
I think he probably gets it more than we think he gets it. Let me ask you a question. Of the entire project, how much was permitted by BMRC? Of all the improvements, just in case I didn't get it, how much was permitted by BMRC?
Historically?
No, the new improvements. How much was permitted?
We have not issued a permit.
Further question, Mr. Tankard?
I guess one of the other points I would make in response to Mr. Schick's comment, the other case seemed to me the process was well known by the man, Mr. Majette, who was doing the work. It seems that in this case, this Mr. Edwards seems not to understand, or maybe he does, but it's hard to know. But for sure, the other applicant knew the process and decided to go around it.
Well, Mr. Fox?
No.
I'm sorry.
It wasn't that great here.
Anything I say wrong, a tribute to Mr. Fox.
Correct the record, Kathy, please.
I disagree that he may not understand, or he may pretend he doesn't understand, but he's been explained well, well more than except than the previous person. Now, you know, I know we make cases on an individual basis. I don't mean to keep going back to that, but he knew he wasn't supposed to do this. He did it anyway. He's not here to doesn't have enough interest to come here to defend himself in this issue. Now, again, I don't have a problem with it. I would approve it with, after the fact permit, and, we have to watch him. But, here's the situation again where, and he has the wherewithal to build 100 slips without, if nobody says anything until we come along and say,
it's going to cost you $1,800 for 100 slips.
Right. So, if we go ahead and approve this without him even bothering to lift a finger to drive down here, with an $1,800 slap on the hand, I just don't see that this is. Now, what's going to get him is we tell him to take the dock out. Now, he might get a quick education then.
Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a follow-up question on this point for Carl, if I can, and that is with the applicant not being here to agree to a civil charge, would it be possible to impose a civil charge and require its payment by a certain date, and if he doesn't comply, then order removal of the document?
Your proposed action would be any alternative. The first alternative being an agreement to a civil charge, and the second one being removal of the existing for the improvements. Let me look at the civil charge.
Mr. Tankard?
Just as a seems to me, if he's not here to agree to a civil charge of $1,800, the commission may have only one alternative, is that is to recommend the direct removal of all unpermitted improvement.
Well, counsel's looking up something. Let me read something that's pretty available to us. 28.2.1205 permits for the use of state-owned bottomlands. When determining whether to grant or deny any permit for the use of state-owned bottomlands, the commission, not the applicant, shall be guided in its deliberations by the provisions of Article 11, Section 1 of the Constitution of Virginia. In addition to other factors, the commission shall also consider the public and private benefits of the proposed project and shall exercise its authority under this section consistent with the public trust doctrine as defined by the common law of the Commonwealth adopted pursuant to Section 1200, in order to protect and safeguard the public right to the use and enjoyment of the subaqueous lands by, of the Commonwealth held in trust by it for the benefit of the people, as conferred by the public trust doctrine of the Constitution of Virginia. If we're not here and we don't look out for these specific things when scofflaws go out and do this, and you say whether they want to or not, if you're going to undertake, and the reason I asked Jay how much it's going to cost, you got 115 foot of existing new dock. If you do it on the cheap, it's $100 a foot, okay? And you're talking about an $1,800 civil charge. You got another 37 by 6, 8 authorized, and the man's not even here to explain what he's done. I think it's a disservice to the citizens of the Commonwealth and the public trust doctrine to let it stay there because it's totally unpermitted. The man is not given any mitigation whatsoever other than maybe he's got a king's grant to it, and I think it's just flat wrong.
All I've got to say on that. Mr. Chairman.
The council's got something, then it will be you, Mr. Fox.
We have a letter in here from Mr. Grab to Mr. Edwards mentioning a civil penalty up to $25,000 a day. Does that civil penalty apply?
I'll let Mr. Josephson answer that. It's a different set of circumstances, but I'll let him respond to it.
Okay, with respect to the first question, Mr. Robbins, it's not entirely clear. It says, with the consent of the person, the commission may issue that order, but it doesn't say that that consent has to be at any particular time, so I think that's legally a possibility.
So it could be set up on a provisional basis?
No, sure. And with respect to the civil penalty, that's in lieu of the civil charge. Civil charge would be in lieu of the civil penalty. Civil penalty can be pursued because there has been a violation of the chapter, and that $25,000 per day does apply to violation of the chapter. It just simply have to be established in court, and then what the amount would be up to the judge, and he would take into account whatever the government said and any mitigating factors that the defendant is.
Mr. Holland and then Mr. Robbins.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with your sentiments exactly. The other thing I would say is that in the last applicant, the gentleman came, apologized for what they'd done, and asked for a waiver of 64 feet. And, we denied that, requiring him to move a floating pier. There's no way that can support.
Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to ask a follow-up question for Carl, and that is in terms of the civil charge matrix, is that generally guidance that doesn't have the...
That's been my advice all along. That
So we're not bound by that.
If you differ from it, because there's certain expectations, you probably ought to explain why. But under the law, you can assess a civil, you can, with the consent of the individual, you can assess a civil charge up to $10,000. This is just a guy. I mean, you could charge him $1. You could charge $10,000. If that's what you want to do, and set it by the individual.
Further comments?
Yes.
Mr. Fox.
This is to Mr. Robbins. I would suggest that we might have two items here. We might have the widening of this and the installation of that. So if you want to look at it as two items, you could make 1,800 times two.
Mr. Robbins?
Mr. Chairman, I think, you know, it's clear that the applicant has shown a significant disregard for the process and that they have not filed for a permit. They were notified on the front end of the process that they would need a permit to encroach over state on the bottom. Furthermore, they're not here today, which reflects, I think, an additional disregard for the process. As you pointed out in your comments, the scale of this project, you know, on the one hand, it's commercial in nature, and I think staff has indicated that there is a private benefit at a commercial site. They would have been inclined to approved it, perhaps had it come in if it had been properly applied for ahead of time, but they did not apply for it. It is a significant project in terms of its total cost, and the matrix, if we were to follow the matrix, which our council says we're not bound by, the fine essentially or civil charge would be relatively insignificant. I would move that we authorize after the fact approval with the $5,000 civil charge, and if the civil charge is not agreed to, then the commission order the removal of the structure.
Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second.
Second by Dr. McConaughey. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Those opposed? Raise your hand. We're going to have four.
Five counting me.
Motion fails. Mr. Tankard?
The process is important, and obviously Mr. Edwards didn't feel it, but we're bound by process. It seems to me their only course of action is direct removal of the unpermitted improvements. So that's my motion.
One question to add, and Council represented or advised me of this. If the individual can provide a qualifying excuse where he did intend to be here, and we're talking about something that's very, very serious in nature, would a continuation be in order to hear from the gentleman? If we're talking about something that precluded him,
I see what you're saying. In some fashion, it's serious.
That he could not.
He had intended to be here and did not. Yes, sir. I would make that a caveat to the motion.
Motion made by Mr. Tankard to remove it unless the individual can provide good cause, and I guess a good cause will be up to the commission. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Holland. Further discussion on the motion? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
One no. Motion carries. Thank you very much.